DW Africa Link.
If they are going to hit to their walls, if they are going, I think it would.
I know these people very well that they don't do what they say. They go and do opposite.
Government saying something, they may not do it in that proper way they said it.
Nigeria has an ambitious plan to grow. The federal government has declared 2026 as the year the nation moves from economic stabilization to expansion. The primary objective of this year's economic growth agenda is to place Nigeria on a credible path toward a $1 trillion GDP by 2036. The country wants to scale domestic output and attract massive private capital. So, how will the ordinary Nigerian benefit from the economic growth agenda? Is this the year for Nigerians to start making money? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
Nigeria's 2026 economic growth agenda comes at a pivotal time. After years of navigating currency shocks, subsidy removals, stubborn inflation, and growing debt service costs, the government believes the most painful reforms are behind it. Now, the focus shifts to growth, attracting investment, restoring confidence, and turning Nigeria's demographic trends into an advantage. To shed more light on this, we're joined by Dr. Wilson Erumebo, Principal Economist at the Nigerian Economic Summit Group, and DW's Olisa Chukwuma, our correspondent in Lagos, Nigeria. Wilson, how does Nigeria plan to execute this 2026 economic growth agenda?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure to join you. So if you noticed, a couple of years ago, the president set an agenda of Nigeria achieving a $1 trillion economy by the year 2030. So basically, what we're trying to do, you know, is to, at the moment, almost increase our GDP by fourfold from the current, you know, approximately $250 or $300 billion, all the way to $1 trillion. And you can imagine that that's a huge feat, you know. So what the minister, you know, of finance and a couple of government officials have done is to say, what exactly do we need to do from 2026 onward to be able to achieve that $1 trillion target by 2030? And so there is a whole idea of, first of all, we need to get our macroeconomic environment right. If you're not an economist, what that basically means is we need stable foreign exchange, that exchange rate. We need low inflation. We need GDP to grow at a much rapid rate, you know, just so we can at least move closer or achieve this target. We need to invest in key sectors. We need to ensure that government policy is, you know, harmonized and coherent, you know, just so that we can drive investments to achieve that target. So that's basically what the government is trying to do.
Thanks for that breakdown. So I just really want to understand some of the key steps the government wants to take to achieve this $1 trillion target. Considering the challenges that Nigeria has been going through for a long time now, inflation very high, high youth unemployment and all of that.
Yeah, thank you for that question. I think from what was presented and what was shared, what the ministers, you know, said is that first of all is to ensure that we continue on a stable macroeconomic environment. So we continue to have exchange rates at a stable pace. We continue to have lower inflation. We continue to expand credit, you know, to the private sector. We continue to drive financial inclusion. And within that target or in achieving these targets, what the government said is how to ensure that all government institutions, particularly the monetary and the fiscal authorities, can work together, you know, to, for instance, what if the central bank is saying this is what we want to achieve with inflation, The fiscal side also, that's the Ministry of Finance and other government agencies, also have to be in sync with that objective, just so we can achieve some sort of predictability of policies. There's also aspects that has to do with, you know, funding. How do you ensure that credit gets to the private sector, credit gets to household from micro to micro enterprises? How do you expand consumer lending, for instance? So I think reforming all of those credit-related institutions is something that would that was also put to the table. And then I think one other key aspect is the revenue side. If you follow Nigeria's story, you would know that we've always had issues with revenue meeting their targets, especially in the budget. And so what the government is also saying is this time they want to improve non-oil revenue so that not most of our revenue should not come from oil. You know, we should be able to grow revenues from non-oil sector just so we can have a diversified revenue portfolio, which is also good for stability, especially in terms of government planning and spending.
I'm hearing a lot of stability-related measures being taken. I'm not hearing anything about high unemployment and things to make the cost of living bearable for the ordinary Nigerian. Where does it come in?
Well, I think that's a very important point. And it's also a point we've also made to the government, you know, because again, I don't work for the government. I work for, you know, an institution that, you know, does research and policy advocacy. And it's one key point that, look, we've said, you know, consistently that there are different phases to this recovery. If you remember, we're coming from a place where 2023 was really tough for Nigerians, high inflation, you know, foreign exchange problems, and so many other issues, subsidies and co. So we're saying, look, the first thing is to stabilize, which links directly to your question. But beyond that, you know, I think we need to consolidate, which is the next phase, that when you've stabilized all of these, at least get us on a stable ship before we can increase the speed and pace, you know, of movement. And that's the next real phase of growth. That's when growth will then connect with businesses and connect with the people. So you're right that a lot of these initiatives tend to speak to the stability point. But I think that the government needs to move beyond that. And in fact, we launched a report just a couple of months ago at the Nigerian Economic Summit, which the entire focus was on jobs and productivity. And we said, look, if Nigeria must grow, develop, move to the next stage of development, we have to create 27 million jobs from now to 2030, which is just 5 years. And we estimated 4.5 million jobs every year just to maintain the current unemployment rate. And so that involves things like skills development. How do you ensure that the private sector is able to grow and expand just so they can employ more people? How do you incentivize smaller businesses to transition from being micro and nano to small, medium scale businesses? So there's a whole lot of reforms that we propose. And you're right that that should ideally be the next phase of development. And we can only hope that the government will move in that direction as well.
From all that I'm hearing, maybe it's just me hearing wrong, but it doesn't sound realistic to me. Or is it? I mean, this 2026 economic growth agenda, how realistic is it?
Not to be pessimistic, but the long-term plan of $1 trillion economy by 2030, I don't think it would be extremely difficult for Nigeria to achieve that, especially with a growth rate of, you know, 3.5, 4%. You know, so what the government has said is country aspire. It doesn't mean that you will achieve that, but people set targets. But for me, I think what we've always done and what is very clear is that our actions do not always match our ambitions. And that's one key gap that I hope that in the next couple of months and years, we will be able to solve. So the pace of reforms, the kind of reforms we need to get that $1 trillion economy, I don't think we're seeing that in the economy. Yes, there's progress. There's a few things happening. The central bank has done extremely well in managing the currency. But then I still think that, you know, it's not just about the central bank. There's a whole lot of issues with trade. For instance, the African Continental Free Trade Area Agreement. Some exporters are saying, look, despite all of these, we can't even export. The procedures are just, you know, difficult. So those are, you know, low-hanging fruit and key areas that we have to reform. There's also the talk about industrialization. So again, I don't think it's going to be easy to achieve a $1 trillion or even to get close to $1 trillion economy. It's a huge feat.
That's the argument being made right now. And Olisa, I'm sure you've been listening keenly to what Wilson has been saying. He's the expert and he's breaking things down. It's okay to have targets, but realistic targets is what people can believe in. Olisa, you've been speaking to people on the ground. What have people been telling you, Olisa?
Well, going around to speak with ordinary Nigerians and Lagosians, people on the streets, they are asking the question, yes, the government has unveiled this 2026 economic growth agenda. Yes, the government has been going through reforms, but what does that actually mean for the common man? That is what they're asking. How does that affect the common man in terms of job opportunities and also in terms of the price of things and price of goods in the markets going forward? Because going into the new year, this announcement from the government comes, you know, on the back of a hill of this same administration that, you know, devalued the Naira since coming on, had the fuel subsidy issues. So, yes, there have been, you know, steady some progress gotten. People just want to know, as they go into 2026, how will that affect, you know, their earning capacity, you know, going forward?
Right. So, as usual, mixed reactions. It is, on the one hand, it's positive to have an agenda, but people don't see how realistically this will affect their pockets, is what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm. They want to know that, okay, if the government, because it's not the first time, nor the first administration, has come up with some sort of economic agenda, economic plan, reform plan. Yes, this administration has been consistent in following up with all their plans for reforms. But people just want to know, how does that affect them, you know, individually going forward? They don't want to have a case where it's going to be one of those things that the government just announces and it doesn't reflect, and by the end of 2026, they are worse off than where they were economically in 2025.
I'm assuming, Olisa, you've also been speaking to owners of small and medium enterprises or businesses. You know how the informal economy is very key in many African countries. What are some of these business people expecting from this economic agenda?
Well, the key thing for them is they talk about ease of doing business. We're talking about small to medium scale enterprises, whether formal or informal. These are the people in the big markets in Lagos, the high streets in Lagos that have to do trade, they have to do deliveries, they have to do, whether it's micro imports or exports, these are the people that have to do the day-to-day buying and selling that will boost this target of ₦1 trillion economy by 2030. So they are asking, what about things like let's talk about Nigeria, because apart from the things that people have to pay to do businesses, a lot of business owners, they complain about what they call shadow tax, you know, that they have to pay, whether it's government tax or approved. There are a lot of people that spend money on different things that they say they don't see the benefit of. So informal payments that these people have to pay in terms of transportation of their goods, in terms of keeping, you know, just to keep the operations of their business alive. They are hoping that, look, if the government is coming with such economic agendas, will the government help them get clarity on all this? What they just use the name shadow informal tax or informal behind the scenes money that just goes out of your pockets. It doesn't get to government, and your business doesn't benefit from it. So people want to know going forward, will this be the with this agenda going forward, will this really help them to get clarity so that they can use all this money that they pay elsewhere to, you know, put into their capital and run their businesses? That's what people want to know, especially in cities like Lagos, that has the economic backbone of Nigeria's economy.
So what do people expect to happen now to change their circumstances or their current situation? What do they expect from their government now?
One thing people are asking for is clarity. Yes, people want clarity about how these policies, you know, impact them on a day-to-day. That's one thing. People agree that there is infrastructural deficit in Nigeria, which the government is trying to address. They want to see this infrastructural deficit scaled up quickly because they know that while the government is struggling to get this infrastructure, electricity, power, housing, so many things, roads, these are the things that affect their businesses and their private lives. So, and people expect that if these things are taken care of, it puts less pressure on the government to get money from people. It puts less pressure on people in terms of trying to get their businesses from one place to another. So these are the questions people want to ask, because Nigeria is a country, especially places like Lagos, that people almost do things for themselves. You run your power yourself, you run your electricity yourself, you run your homes and businesses yourself, your water. So many things that people have to go through, indirect costs to acquire. So they just want that if government can settle infrastructure, get clarity on the payments that they have to be making, whether to the government or to whatever, they want to see these things reflected on a day-to-day basis.
Right. Thanks, Olisa, for that. Look, Wilson, coming back to you, it sounds to me that the three of us in this discussion, and indeed some people Olisa has been speaking to, are not convinced about this 2026 economic agenda. So what is needed to convince people and indeed long-term investors that Nigeria is indeed setting itself on a different path with different policies that makes it inviting to investors and anyone that can contribute to the country's economy?
Yeah, thank you for that question. I think there are two things to point to. The first is you need to be an example of the reforms you are asking, you are pushing. You need to, because the government has been asking citizens to, you know, buckle up, you know, manage, be patient, that we will get through these. These are hard times, especially in the last 2 years. But then what you find is when you look at government spending and how the government spends money, you know, you look at the budget, for instance, the federal government budget, you still see a lot of, you know, discrepancies. You know, one agency is doing something they should not be doing, allocating money to do X, Y, Z. You still see like convoys of government officials, like huge convoys. So it leaves an impression on the people that you're asking me to cut my coat, you know, cut my expenditure, manage. But at the same time, what we're seeing from your side is a lot of lavish spending. And so I think that's one of the first key thing that as a government, you need to also practice what you preach by ensuring that you spend wisely, you spend efficiently, and that money gets to projects and money gets to people, and there's proper impact assessment, evaluation and monitoring of government's expenditure. And I think that's one very key thing that will inspire people and let people know that, look, it looks like we're on a track, you know, to growth and prosperity. The other thing is on communication, you know, how the government communicates its plan. You know, I can tell you that this growth agenda, perhaps we talk about it because maybe we're in a particular circle, we have access to the internet and the likes, but there are many people out there, you know, most people in the informal economy, many people in the informal economy that Olisa had mentioned that are not even aware of what's happening. You know, so I think how we then communicate some of these strategies, agendas, the role of citizens is also very important, using different mediums, whether it's social media or the traditional media. I think it's also very important, you know, in getting that buy-in from the people.
Maybe we are being too pessimistic. On the one hand, it's good to have a plan, realistic or not, but at least a plan, a direction. Shouldn't that be good enough?
Precisely. I say that you can't really move forward without a plan. You know, I was part of the team that worked on the 2021 to 2025 Niger medium term development plan. And, you know, that process was an eye-opener for me that, look, there's a whole lot of resources that we have within the country that was deployed, you know, to just thinking of where Nigeria should be in the next 5 years, you know. And also I worked on the Vision 2050, you know, agenda as well. So there's a whole lot of plans, and which also speaks to the point that your colleague made. But this time, I just think we have to move beyond that. Yes, plans are good. I'm an advocate of them. But what's even more important is the implementation of those plans and how you ensure that you check what was missing in the previous plan. So there's sort of like an assessment to say, where did we miss it? What could we have done? And you actually do them to correct those measures in the current or future plan.
So at the end of the day, plans are great, Olisa, but it's about the implementation. Look, it's the start of a new year. Good to have a plan to look forward to. There's time to make changes here and there. Overall, optimism or pessimism, Olisa, as we wrap this up?
Well, from a Nigerian layman perspective, it's a bit of a pessimism. But because of when, where and how the government has announced this, there's optimism because don't forget, it's the start of a new year. It's 2026. Nigerians generally, you know, as a religious nation, as people who have been through so much economically, with even with insecurity, people crossed over, you know, covering the news and speaking to people going into the new year. People had high hopes economically. So when they hear this, there's a little bit of skepticism, you know, because we've heard this before, but they're optimistic because at least there is a plan. At least the government says this is part of the phase of Nigeria's expansion towards its target of a trillion economy by 2030. So there's a bit of pessimism in terms of rolling their eyes. We've heard this before, but there's optimism because it was announced, you know, on the first day of the new year, 1st of January 2026, where Nigerians, that is when they are hopeful for better days ahead this year.
Right, right. So I have a feeling that we'll come back to see how things are going. It's difficult to judge anything that results are expected in 2030 or in the 2030s. So we'll keep tabs on, you know, how Nigeria decides to get its 2026 economic agenda, you know, on the go. So yeah, fingers crossed. Thank you very much for your contributions, Dr. Wilson Erumebo, Principal Economist, Nigerian Economic Summit Group, and DW's Olisa Chukwuma, our correspondent in Lagos, Nigeria.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This ambitious economic shift faces real challenges. Inflation remains stubborn. Household purchasing power is still low, and insecurity continues to disrupt agriculture, logistics, and energy initiatives. In reality, 2026 is less about bold promises and more about whether institutions can finally deliver.
If they are going to adhere to their words, if they are going to do what they say, I think it will. You understand? Creating jobs for youth, you know. But if they are not going to do what they say, I don't think it will do any, like, it will, you know what I mean? I don't think so.
I know these people very well that once something, sometimes they don't do what they say. They'll go and do opposite. But if actually they can put it in place, I think it will help the economy, to me.
Government saying something, they may not do it in that proper way they said it. Now the common man now will suffer for it. Because many programs have been coming like that, but they don't put it in a proper form.
It will not benefit the whole economy as a whole, but it benefits people that have access to the government, people that already have connection, basically, not the whole average Nigeria. It's just like something that is just being put out there for people to know, but it's not really necessarily impacting the country as a whole.
So what would a successful 2026 look like? It would mean slower inflation, modest but steady job creation, rising non-oil exports, and improved investor confidence, especially from domestic investors who know the terrain best. That's according to experts. Now, if institutions hold, Nigeria could finally convert reform pain into durable growth. Talk is always cheap. Implementation is key. We'll be monitoring the situation and we'll keep you posted. Please share your thoughts with us on Facebook at DW Africa. Listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe, and I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.